Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Blueprint Power Hour today. Excuse me, let me clear my throat. Today's show should be uneventful. Looks like BeLive TV is cooperating, unlike yesterday, which threw me for a loop. I have to say that Superhuman Radio is made possible through a generous grant from All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports. Check them out by going to superhumanradio.net and learn more about them. And without further delay, I play his intro music.
Calling all Blueprint Army, fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Ragish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
How you doing, Rob?
I am doing fantastic. How about you?
What's in your shaker bottle, Rob?
What is in my shaker bottle is just a lemon drink.
So oh, cool.
Yeah, we squeeze some real lemon in there and throw it down. Help the body's acid alkaline balance.
There you go. Very, very good. How you feeling after your surgery?
Oh, we're going to talk about that today. I have some information that has already blown more than a few doctors' minds, but I'm feeling great. Thank you.
It's amazing when physicians encounter people of our class because they're so used to dealing with sick people who don't heal well and. It's going to be an interesting discussion. It really is. Anything special going on over at CoachRobRegish.com?
Yes. In fact, you've heard me talk about something called the Ultimate Blueprint several times in the past few months. I am here to tell you that it is ready. It is brand new for 2018, and it is completely revised, updated, and improved, and is going to be offered in video, audio, and transcript format.
What about Braille?
Now,
I'm only kidding.
Well, wait, we
got only kidding. Yet. Only kidding.
Subscribers and clients are going to be the first to get notified about it. And the best way to do that is to get details, get more details, is to subscribe over on my site at CoachRobRegish.com. It's going to be an email going out to those folks. Details and an early bird offer, early bird special, so to speak, is going to be going out very soon. So be on the lookout for it. I'm really excited about it. This is by far my best work to date.
Also, just want to mention, those of you watching Facebook Live, you can post questions and we'll try to work them into the show today. We have questions ready to answer. The first one of which comes from Tom Stinson. He says, I have a question for you and Carl. I have golfer's elbow and tendonitis in the back of and side of both of my elbows. At the tricep attachment point, it's becoming more irritated and did not recover with it with 2 weeks of rest and massage. Curious to hear how you would treat it and how do you train around it? You don't. In regards to intensity, volume, and frequency, is heavy, less frequent work better than lighter, higher volume work? Any suggestions? Thanks again.
Yeah, well, so-called golfer's elbow or tennis elbow is a pretty serious injury, and it usually takes some time to resolve. But here's the thing. You need to keep first things first, meaning make sure that this is, in fact, your problem, tendonitis. Because I, too, was convinced I had tendonitis in my right elbow. And for years, I worked with that premise and attempted to treat it as such with no success. I finally got it looked at, only to find out it was not tendonitis, but severe arthritis. So after a month or so of glucosamine injections, it is much, much better. So that's number one, just get an accurate diagnosis. If it is tendonitis, there are things you can certainly do to address it. Step number one, though, is understanding that any tendon injury probably won't resolve, you know, quickly.
No.
Even if you're a young, you know, teenager. So I'll first address what compounds may help, then get into much more important training-related changes that you'll need to make. With respect to compounds that will help speed the healing, I have a short list, and it's as follows. BPC-157, obviously, its reputation speaks for itself, can be taken orally or injected to facilitate accelerated wound healing. And to your point, I think it was Peptide Sciences has the best stuff out there, the real deal. Number two, Cesis quadrangularis, about 1,600 milligrams a day. The two brands I like there are Primaforce and Epson Nutrix. Either is extremely effective and, you know, should be probably your oral of choice. Third is curcumin. I put it slightly behind Cesis, but not much. It is an excellent analgesic, anti-inflammatory, and overall probably the single best, you know, health-promoting herb that you can take. Four would be Synthogen. Look, it was formulated to accelerate recovery and wound healing. And two compounds in particular will radically accelerate wound healing. The improved blood flow for 6 hours with the dose is also another added bonus that'll help. And then five is something a lot of people overlook. You know, so-called cryotherapy. Icing the area post-workout can really help. And the way I like to do it, you don't need to spend money on one of those fancy cryo cups. I mean, you can if you want, but just fill up a Dixie cup with water and freeze it, right? And as soon as you get home, ice it by peeling back the cup, you know, every so often until all the ice is gone. Cryotherapy has definite merit. There's no question about it. Now, let's talk training. The single biggest causative factor in developing tendonitis, in my opinion, is overuse injuries. The same movements, the same rep ranges, the same set rep protocols, all of that invites problems. Frequency is another issue that's, you know, causing problems. You're training too often. And here's how I'd approach it. First, cut your training frequency per week in half. You don't need to do this forever. Just do it as an experiment, right? If you're training hard 4 days a week, cut it back to two. Second, cut your volume in half as well. So if you're currently performing 10 sets for chest, shoulders, and tries, you know, dial that back to five. Here's the key, though. You want to up your intensity during this time, either through lifting heavier or by cutting your rest periods in half. Now, you can and should rotate two distinct workouts like that, a heavy day with longer rest periods and a lighter day with shorter rest periods. Change your exercises as well to see if, you know, some movements are more offending to the injured area than others. Find the ones that aren't. And then finally, believe it or not, I would suggest eliminating all direct arm work together. That single modification has helped more people with overuse injuries in the arms and upper body than anything else that I know of. Plus, you know, if you're doing justice to your pushing and pulling movements, your buys and tries get plenty of work. In fact, and I'll never forget this, it was only after I dropped all direct arm work and poured myself into big pushing and pulling movements, did my arms start growing. So, you know, that's something to think about as you make your next training moves. Again, it doesn't need to be forever. It might even be for just 3 weeks. But see if it helps. I'm betting that it will.
So this is an area where I slightly disagree with the training recommendations. That'll go away in a second. I think that you're spot on about your supplements. The only addition I would add to that is have a piece of salmon every single day, not fish oil. Omega-3s have pro-resolvins in them that actually help healing. Tendons are avascular. They have no blood flow to them at all. Every time I've torn a muscle, whether it be my tricep or the top outer head of my bicep, I had tendonitis in them first. And this is a problem. I disagree with training. And keep in mind, I was doing rear delt work when my triceps snapped. I had my arms in a reverse position. I was pulling back on the pec machine, you know, reverse pec deck machine. And yep. I tore the tricep right off the bone. And so I wasn't training my arms at the moment. I wasn't doing any heavy pressing movement, but I had had severe tendonitis in that elbow, in the lower portion of the tricep, for going on months. But I what is this? Jeff Stinson, we said, what was his name? That we're answering.
Tom,
I'm sorry. Tom. Like Tom, I was like, well, how do I work around this and how do I work through this? No, you don't work around tendonitis. You don't work through tendonitis. You let it heal. Focus on your legs for a while, because that's when they snap. The way it was explained to me by the orthopedic surgeon was, once you have tendonitis, there is actually an unraveling of the tissue. It's almost like a cable starts to unravel, and the tissue actually comes apart and it starts to shred on its own. So it becomes very, very weak and very easy to tear. So that's the only thing I would add to it. You're spot on about the supplements. And the only thing I would add to the nutritional side of it would be salmon. Absolutely, I'd add salmon to it. BPC for sure. Inject it right into the local area. Don't even inject it in your gut, you know, in your stomach. Don't take it orally. Inject it right into the elbow area. But I also think that your initial comment was very, very insightful. I've never heard of anybody getting tendonitis in both elbows at the same time. And it may be arthritis.
Yeah, I tried to play doctor and I misdiagnosed myself. So I lost about a year and a half of time by doing that.
Let's drop a question in from a listener, a viewer, Jeff Clinton, real quick here. And then we'll move on to one of the other questions that we have here. So Jeff says, what do you think about training when someone is experiencing adrenal fatigue? Adrenal fatigue to me and training is just overtraining.
Yep. No, I agree. You know,
if you're experiencing fatigue, you don't want to train. Walk.
The reality is, if you've shot your adrenals, then you're probably overtrained in a number of other areas. You're probably, and maybe even chronically overtrained. I think the best remedy for that, frankly, is a week or even two off to see if and when you come back, you feel better and are stronger. Now, interesting point. There's a woman I know, a former IFBB pro. She trains 5 days a week at my gym, usually. Well, she recently, on a lark, switched to an every other day program. I said, let me guess, you're stronger. She said, oh my God, ridiculously stronger. And everything feels good again. My joints, you know, my tendons, my ligaments, even my muscles feel fuller and, you know, larger. So, you know, time off is highly underrated, although it is the single most difficult thing for most people to do.
Ian Musgrove, we'll get to your question in a moment. And I know Rob is going to have specific strategies about this because he's actually talked about this before. But let's go to Larry Sandusky. He says, I saw the Facebook about your shoulder surgery. Like you, I never had surgery and have some reservations about going under. Specifically, I take a lot of supplements, and here they want you to stop taking them at least 2 weeks before. Did you do that, and did it cause problems during or after surgery?
Wow. Now, this is an interesting question, and my answer may surprise some folks. But in advance of surgery, they sent me this folder, okay? And it counseled in big, bold letters to stop all herbal supplements at least 2 weeks prior to surgery. Now, since I was taking glucosamine, and that's not an herb, I called for further clarification. And the physician's assistant told me to stop that 5 days out. So I did so.
But wait a minute. Did she say... Rob, hold on a second, because you dropped out for a second. Did she say why 5 days out? Why not just take it all the way through? Did she? Because glucosamine has no blood thinning effect.
She didn't. She didn't go into detail. But again, that's a little different, right, than 2 weeks for all herbals. And then I called back to ask other questions about non-herbals. And then by that person, I was told, again, stop all supplements now, 2 weeks before. Interestingly enough, I was told that all prescription medicines, before I even mentioned one, were just fine to keep taking.
Yeah. Now,
right. It was before I even mentioned one's in Christ here, right? 2 weeks, 5 days, everything's okay. You know, and given that conflicting advice, I formulated a plan. So here's what it looked like. First and foremost, I think the take all your prescription drugs as usual advice, I think that's a simple exercise in CYA, right? That's all it is. Because if they tell you to stop any drugs you're taking and you die or you suffer any adverse consequences, they'll be liable. With respect to the supplements in question, I took kratom, glucosamine, and Synthogen up to 5 days prior. And despite it being listed as a huge no-no pre-surgery, I used ephedrine caffeine up until the very day of surgery, right? And why did I do that? Well, I could tell just by the verbiage that they were using. They were parroting the old media line about ephedrine causing heart attacks and strokes and being responsible for all the evil acts that men indulge in, basically. And I also took Phenibut the day before as well. I used Thrive up to the day before too. They told me, believe it or not, they told me no protein powders.
I mean, you said you're right. It's all cover your ass. But the reality is the only things you should be concerned about taking before surgery, anything that could have an effect on thrombosis, effect on clotting, fish oil, but not – interestingly enough, they'll tell you not to take fish oil, but you can have salmon the day before, which tells you that that's BS. Vitamin E, they tell you not to take. Ginger, they tell you not – because all of those things thin the blood. But yet, if somebody is on Coumadin or Warfarin, they don't tell them to stop taking it 2 weeks out.
Right, exactly. You know, so basically, as you can see, I did not follow the stop taking all supplements 2 weeks prior advice, and I did just fine. Understand who I am, and I have a pretty good understanding of what I take and what it does and how my body reacts to them. So, but in retrospect, it was clear to me that, surprise, surprise, there's an institutional bias against all supplements. The reality is, the sad reality is this. Many of them hold incredible value and can especially be used as a great adjunct post-surgery. Now, for example, immediately post-op, I took 20 Synthogen, and I've taken 15 every day since. Since I formulated it, right, to accelerate wound healing, it just made good sense to me to use it. I actually almost forgot about it, believe it or not. Ditto for Kratom. Kratom is a – certain strains are fantastic analgesics, working on the same receptor as the fentanyl that they gave me in the hospital.
Right.
Here's the difference. 10 minutes after getting fentanyl, I blacked out. Don't even remember falling asleep, completely blacked out. Don't remember a second of surgery, woke up in the post-op room. 10 minutes after you take, let's say, Green Malay, Kratom, you get a distinct uplift in your mood and a kind of curious, non-shaky type energy hits you. You know, those two products, as a matter of fact, those two products, Synthogen and Kratom, I would suggest to anyone having surgery to recover faster. In fact, I did not need to take a single oxycodone pain pill post procedure due to pain. And that's a pretty strong testament to the power, I think, of nutritional supplements. Beyond that, Thrive and its constituent amino acids are intimately involved in repair, right?
Right.
I mean, that would be on my checklist for you to take as well, right up to the day, yeah. Despite the fact they counsel otherwise. Now, likewise, omega-3s, curcumin, Cesis, BPC-157, all of those things are incredibly useful in speeding your recovery. Why wouldn't you avail yourself to those compounds? You know, the more I thought of it, the bigger disservice the medical community is doing by not recommending things like that.
Right.
So in any case, I would encourage you to do what I did. So what I do, you know, it wasn't the most conservative course of action. But I did exceptionally well pre, during, and post-op. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I think, look, at the end of the day, you need to use your critical thinking cap when you're getting guidance, even going into surgery.
And we are getting questions. We have one loaded from Tim Bruce. We have one from Ian Musgrove. We will get to them. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Brandon Murphy says, yep. Green Malay is more mood boosting and antidepressant than pharmaceutical opiates. I prefer it as well. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more questions. We got questions coming in live from people watching the show. Post your questions. We'll get to it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Kygenix Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Kygenix banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Kygenix Prime. I couldn't have done it without.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperhumanRadio.net.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
I got to give a shout out to somebody.
Yeah.
So, Carrie Rapp said, "Hi, Carl." So, I went to her Facebook page. If you want to see an amazing transformation from somebody who used to be, like me, obese, and now is fit and muscular, you got to check out Carrie Rapp's Facebook page. I just looked at her transformation. It's insane. I don't think I've ever seen a woman start out so overweight and end up so fit and muscular and lean looking. Carrie Rapp, man, way to go. Let's go ahead and answer Ian Musgrove's question first, because this is something you've talked about before. He says, so right now he's going to start cutting, and he wants to know about strategies for rep ranges during caloric deficit to preserve the most muscle while burning fat. He lifts 4 days a week. Should I lift heavy 2 days and lactic acid training on the other 2 days? Only if you have an opening, okay. So anyway, you've talked about this. The big mistake that people make when they're cutting is they change their training.
Right. And they change it. They lighten the load. They go for more reps and they rest shorter rest intervals.
Yeah. Yeah. The signal that you're sending to your body with training shouldn't change just because you're cutting your calories. In fact, it should stay the same so that you maintain as much muscle as possible.
I have long been of the opinion that the best cardio for fat loss is weight training. And yes, as I've spoken to before, depending upon how lean you are, you know, if you're training 4 days a week, then in the early, you know, first two to three weeks, have three training sessions that are lactic acid tolerance training based. And then every fourth workout is going to be your heavy one. Now, as you get leaner and leaner, I think it's a better idea to have two workouts of each in there. Especially as you try to chase down that last, let's call it 5% or 5 pounds of body fat. I have seen people lose more muscle chasing that last little bit of lower abdominal fat off than I care to remember. But yeah, I mean, rotating those two exercises is really important. The big mistake is not trying to still lift heavy weights. You may not be able to lift heavier, but it depends too. You know, if you're benching, I would tell you, don't put yourself through the psychological mess of losing upper body strength. Switch the weighted dips. You're only going to get stronger as your body weight comes down, or push-ups. And as far as rowing movements go, listen, it's prime time for chin-ups as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. If you're dieting and well into the advanced variations, including uneven chin-ups, and God bless you if you can do them, true one-arm chins. So it's a great question. A lot of people make that mistake. It sounds like he's pretty much on the right track.
The next question comes from Dan Zeipel, and then we will get back to Tim Bruce's question that he just posted. Dan Zeipel says, what do you think of safety bar squats? Is it something to look into, especially for someone with limited shoulder flexibility and range, obviously? It's kind of expensive, so I'd like your take on it before ordering one.
Yeah, and I'm glad he asked. The safety squat bar is a great piece of equipment. You know, it's a cambered bar with a padded yoke, big padded yoke around the neck and handles in front of you to grasp. You actually, most of them are, it's a pronated grip. So, you know, the arms are out in front of the body as opposed to way back here, which gives people, you know, with shoulder issues, problems. You know, many people either lack the shoulder mobility to hold the bar across their shoulders or likewise have an injury that prevents the same. Now, one thing you should be aware of is how the bar, the safety squat bar, displaces the resistance. It's not like squatting with a straight Olympic bar, despite what any authority might have told you on it. So specifically, here's what I'm talking about. Squatting with a safety squat bar is like squatting with a straight bar until it gets heavy. Heavy, of course, is a relative term, but something very distinct happens when you load whatever's heavy for you on there and squat with it. What happens is a lot of the resistance on the way up will be absorbed by the lower back. It kind of pushes you forward. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not quite a good morning, but something, you know, moving in that direction.
And this is what I don't like. This is what I don't like about the safety squat bar. I can't squat with it, and I'll tell you why. Anybody who's tall will agree with what I'm about to say. But if you're tall and you have long bones in your legs and you have a long torso, that safety, I got to get, when I squat, I got to get the bar down right below my shoulder line on my traps. Because I have to lean forward just slightly at the hips in order to keep my the bar in the center of gravity as my legs break and my butt goes out. That safety bar squat is way too high for me, and it is like a good morning. It is.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're not expecting it, it can be very dangerous surprise because, like I said, on the early squats, it feels just like the old straight bar. But, man, once that weight gets heavy, it's a different ball game. So, yes, he also brings up another good point. Cost is an issue. These things are not cheap, especially if you haven't had the opportunity to try one. However, where there's a will, there's a way, because I've come up with an interesting solution you may want to try before ordering a safety squat bar. So what I do is as follows. I clip a Manta Ray device in the middle of a regular Olympic barbell. Mm-hmm. This is similar in shape, of course, to a Manta Ray. It more evenly distributes the stress of the bar across the shoulders. And it helps in balancing the bar, provided you set it up correctly. Balance being the key issue, as you'll soon see. Then what I do is I choke two of my wrist straps around the barbell at about shoulder width. So they're hanging from the bar now, okay? You get under the Manta Ray, you take it off, and you grasp those . So, you know, presto, there's no need to pull the shoulders back to grasp the barbell.
Mm-hmm. You may have to repeat that last part because you dropped out. That wireless internet is giving us a little trouble, I think. Repeat the last couple sentences there.
What do you hang?
Get from that part there?
Hanging from it now and hold it out in front of you. It is I'll call it a poor man safety squat bar. But, you know, for what it is and what it does, it's going to be effective for a lot of people. So, in conclusion, I think the safety squat bar is a fantastic piece of equipment for and that, like I said, it throws more than a little stress onto the lower back when things get heavy. Yeah. You know, I came up with the poor man's version when contemplating what to do after surgery, right? Because I was told by everybody, listen, you're not going to be doing anything for a month, never mind reaching back here. But it is what it is. In 30-plus years of doing this, here's the lesson. I have learned that there is always a way. You just need to be resourceful. So there it is, the poor man's safety squat bar.
Tim Bruce says, Rob, would you recommend Synthogen during the fasting phase of an intermittent fasting protocol? Also, the weight training will be done during the fasting time. What do you think?
Well, I recommend it around training. It's probably not ideal to take it, though, while you're fasting and there's no training going on.
No, he's saying he's going to train fasted. That's what he's saying. He is going to train fasted.
Okay. Yeah, then absolutely use it in and around your training.
Does it upset your stomach if you take it on an empty stomach?
No. I mean, it doesn't do it to me. I haven't heard that from anyone. On your off days and your intermittent fasting, I would take it with your first big meal. But now the stock recommendation applies. Anytime you train, take it before, during, and after, or before and after, whatever suits you.
Khalid Hamloui has a question, but I don't think that I'm equipped to answer it because it's about a special, unique group of people. And it's about tall torso, heavy training, and the occurrence of inguinal hernia. I don't know anything about inguinal hernia. Apparently, he has, in fact, polled some physicians about this, and there seems to be a higher occurrence, according to him. I would have to lean on his research. I don't know anything about inguinal hernias. Do you?
I can only speak to one very good friend of mine who had that type of hernia, and he had a mesh, I want to say, implant is what they put in.
Yeah.
And the recovery period was long, but I can tell you he still trains heavy today with it, so I wouldn't give up all hope.
Well, and I would also say that all the people I know that have had hernias are all much shorter than me. I'm a long torso person. I don't understand why someone who's taller would have a greater preponderance of weakness in the abdominal and oblique area just because they're taller. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, Khalid. And apparently you do, it looks like, from your research. What did you find out? Post that on Facebook here, and we'll let that be a comment as well here in a second. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We've got lots more questions. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour, brought to you by CoachRobRegish.com. Go there and check it out. We'll be right back.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic, and we putting it on wax, it's the new style.
Welcome back. Look, FedEx is here. You know what that is? Money, baby. Money. Yeah, I love getting money. Thank you, FedEx driver. That's how we roll, baby. Live radio, everything. I'm one-man show. I'm everything here. I'm the receptionist, the shipping department. I do the video. I do the radio. I post on Facebook. I just need three more arms, an extra head, and I'll be good. All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Anyway, where is my iPhone? Because that's where my notes are. And Brandon Murphy just posted something way, way, way too big to put up on the screen, but we'll try to get to it here in a second. So the next question comes from, did I miss somebody here? Henry? Jerry Varlow. He says, I have a question about glucosamine. Ouch. And I'm hoping that you can help me with it. Does it really work? And if so, how much should I take? I got arthritis really bad in my hands, and the store-bought stuff just isn't cutting it. It's probably because you're taking the recommended dosage. But go ahead, Rob. Yeah. You roll on it.
Well, you know what? Until just recently, I didn't have much use for glucosamine. And an X-ray, though, revealed that severe arthritis in my right elbow with almost no cartilage there. So it was a real wake-up call for me. But I instantly recalled seeing before and after X-rays of people who had actually regrown cartilage between their joints by using glucosamine and or glucosamine chondroitin. So like with everything else, you know, how much you take, what kind, what form it's in, you know, that matters, and it matters a lot. So what follows are some of the particulars that I adhere to. First, understand that the stuff works, at least to varying degrees. Glucosamine and chondroitin products, they've been around now for almost 20 years. They're in every drugstore. They're in Costco. They're in every major, you know, chain store. And there's a reason people keep buying them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they work, to, like I said, to varying degrees. Even the cheap drugstore stuff works to some degree.
If you take enough of it, right.
Right. The problem being that most of the tablets are low quality, they disintegrate poorly, and often don't contain enough. Why? People don't like swallowing horse pills. That's why. So they make them small. Generally speaking, I like to see people getting at least 3 grams of glucosamine and a similar amount of chondroitin. Yes, that would be the low end. Rather than fool around with store-bought stuff, I would tell you to go directly to a product called GLC 2000, or even better, Actistatin, for real.
Keep
for
talking.
For really problematic cases. These products contain multiple forms of glucosamine. They deliver them in whopper amounts, too. That's the key. Actistatin also layers in additional, I think it's bromelain, transresveratrol, MSM, collagen.
There it is. Actistatin. The single best joint product world, right there. Actistatin. It's the best. It even has resveratrol in it. It has vitamin C in it, because you need 60 milligrams of vitamin C with your glucosamine and chondroitin to produce collagen. This product holds 3 U.S. patents. It's the only product you should take for your joints. Actistatin from GLC in Kentucky, by the way. They're from Kentucky. Paris, Kentucky. Yeah. Versailles.
That interplay between vitamin C, glucosamine, collagen formation, what does that demonstrate? It demonstrates to me that whoever did that formula on that product really knows their stuff. So it's a very telling thing. Now, if all of that fails you, and I would be surprised if it does, be aware that there is an FDA-approved glucosamine hydrochloride injectable, okay, that a doctor can prescribe. Dosing on that, the recommended dosing is 200 milligrams, 1 cc every other day. And I can certainly speak for how well that works. You know, although it's only glucosamine, it seems to be really doing the trick and acts fast. I also take GLC 2000 on alternate days. So on the days I'm not shooting it, I'm getting GLC 2000, because I believe wholeheartedly in those additional ingredients.
Do you inject it? Do you site inject it, or you can inject it anywhere?
It just says intramuscular.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, although it works, and it's certainly probably the most bioavailable form, it's expensive. It costs on the order of $175 for a 6-week supply. Now, not that I recommend this, but there is also, you'll find with a simple Google search, a sterile injectable glucosamine in the same strength for horses and cattle, available without a prescription. Now, again, I would never recommend using a veterinary product.
You dropped out after you said I would never recommend a veterinary product. So you dropped out there. Pick it up from there.
Well, I was about to say, but I have some adventurous newsletter subscribers that have been using it. And when I question why they'd use a vet product, they just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, sterile is sterile and glucosamine is glucosamine.
It's logical.
I had a hard time arguing that. So anyway, here's the bottom line. Give GLC 2000 or Actistatin, give that a whirl for a solid month. And let me know how you do with it. Yeah. I am betting that you will love it. I can't think of a single person that I spoke to that it has ever disappointed. They've all been very complimentary of it, and some people are very, very zealous in their recommending it, to the point where it has And let's be honest, it's a lot better than a painkiller, because you're addressing the underlying problem.
So Brandon Murphy wants to know about diatomaceous earth. I know nothing about diatomaceous earth and its ability to build collagen, but what I do know about is that if you take collagen hydrolysate from Great Lakes with 60 milligrams of vitamin C before your workout, that will build collagen. What do you know? You know anything about diatomaceous earth? I had a filter in my fish tank that used diatomaceous earth. That's all I know about it.
No, that's a new one on me. I will say, though, that even beyond the connective tissue benefits, I'm aware of at least one study showing that collagen increased protein synthesis muscle building.
Oh, yeah. Because you need collagen for the fascia. You know, remember, the tendons and ligaments that collagen helps, that becomes the sheath that encases the muscle. If you don't make the room bigger, how are you going to fit more furniture in it? You know what I mean? Let's go to the next question here, Rob, because I just dropped you. Henry Kozlowski says, I listened carefully to your thoughts on loading patterns a few weeks back. They seem very specific, with not a lot of room for experimentation. Am I off base in this thinking? Or is there leeway to try new things while you're using them? Why would you? These loading patterns have been tested by millions of people over decades. Why change them?
I mean, it really is one of the greatest misconceptions in strength training. The notion that, you know, if you're following a loading pattern, then the rest of your workout, you have no creative leeway. You need to do what it says. Certain number of people like that. Certain number of people don't. The fact of the matter is that kind of specificity, how much weight to use for how many reps and how many sets, that only applies to the big barbell lift that you're applying the loading pattern to. And even then, for 4 to 6 work sets, you know, after that, it's wide open. So let's look at an example. As many of you know, I chose the box squat to perform my loading pattern work with. And I do it first every leg workout. So while it's true, I need you to adhere to those weights, reps, and sets with the loading pattern, the rest of the workout is wide open to plug and play for the various other methods that you know work for you, right? Or in the event you want to try something new. So after my 4 to 6 sets of loading pattern box squats, you know, I usually spend my time on things like the leverage squat, weighted step ups, and glute ham raises. So, and even then, only 1 or 2 work sets using, let's say, 5-second negatives with, of course, progressively heavier weights. So, you know, looked at altogether, I perform upwards of 10 work sets for my legs. Now, that is not a lot by design, because although I'm doing what's necessary to trigger muscle growth, I deliberately do so with minimal volume. Why? To minimize wear and tear. Brooks Kubik said it in his book that I just read. Your squat, your hips and your knees only have so many heavy squats in them. You know, be frugal with how you apply that. Calves and abs, those can be trained on a separate day. Now, I am well aware of the fact that people like to perform leg extensions, leg curls, and all other sorts of leg exercises. Honestly, I don't get much out of those exercises. Matter of fact, the only thing I use leg extensions for is to warm up my knees. Also, be aware that most people are quad dominant and they require specialized hamstring work. Now, it's true that you can't squat without engaging the hamstrings. It's called Lumbar's paradox. But things like glute ham raises and reverse hypers, much better target that area, the hamstrings. Romanian deadlifts are likewise an excellent movement, although you need to be cognizant of, right, too much vertical compression of the spine. So here's the final word. Loading pattern work is only used for your big core barbell lift first in the workout. Anything after that is an open slate, and it's all yours to experiment with.
Real quick, I'm gonna try to condense this question from Brandon Murphy, because as you can see, it actually blocks all of our faces. It's so long. basically, he was prescribed hydrocodone after a procedure, I guess, a 7-day supply, but he also got some green Malay and red Sudanese to use afterwards. And he noticed that the doses he normally took didn't work as good. And he also had flu-like symptoms. He experienced lethargy, anxiety, and nervous energy upon usage. And he's asking if you think that the use of hydrocodone somehow increased his resistance to the kratom.
Well, that's an interesting dilemma. I, you know, I, too, was in a position where I had Kratom and I had oxycodone. I elected to use Kratom. The two of them together, I'm guessing, are going to be pretty darn additive.
But he wasn't using them together. He dovetailed when he was done with the hydrocodone and the prednisone. Yeah. He started to use the kratom, and it didn't work at the same doses that it used to work at. So it sounds to me like there is a desensitization a little bit of the opioid receptor.
Yeah, yeah, because right, oxycodone and kratom are going to work similarly. Now, I'd be real curious to know if he had any sort of those same symptoms when he was just running straight Kratom before. Doesn't sound like it. I don't know. You know, it's a tough call. Is it possible that one is, you know, causing problems with the other? Yeah, absolutely. That would be my first thought. Otherwise, you know, what do you do? Where do you go from here? I don't know. That's a tough call.
I will tell you this, that real legit opioids, they, when you come off of them, they cause anxiety, they cause nausea, they cause fatigue, and that's why people can't get off of them. These are the reasons that people go, no, I need more, because when people come off of opioids, prescription opioids, they freak out. They have anxiety about everything. They're anxious, they're scared, they're nervous. They feel terrible. They feel horrible. They feel sick. Well, sure. That's why they're addictive. That's why people can't come off of them. And I do believe that the synthetic stuff absolutely is going to desensitize the opioid receptor. So the kratom probably is not effective. That's my bet on it. And it happens fast. He said it happens fast and at low dosages, too. Yes, I agree.
I think a better idea instead of kratom. Maybe a very infrequent use, but a better idea would probably be Phenibut, as it modulates the GABA B receptor, not opioid receptors.
I really like Phenibut if you don't abuse it. I think it's really, really great stuff. A lot of people like to call it pH-GABA. We're going to go to Matt Rinaldi's question, so when we come back from the break, we'll do the Blueprint tip of the day. He says, it sounds like you've had your share of doctor's visits lately. It's called aging, Matt. It's called getting older. Get ready, brother. It's in your future, too, if you keep lifting. Given your knowledge and distrust of the medical community, how do you keep from calling these people out all the time? That's a good question. I have an opinion, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, like you said, it's a great question. And it gives me an opportunity, though, to clarify a few things. About what I know, what medical professionals know, and what you know. So here's what I mean by that. For a pretty good reason. For example, I went to the ER for shingles. I had no idea how to treat a serious disease like that, much less have access to the potent antivirals and painkillers and CAT scans that someone in that situation needs. You know, nobody's got a CAT scan thing at home to check for opportunistic infections. You know, the average everyday person is just not equipped to handle acute, and that is the correct word, I think, acute medical emergencies that happen from time to time. So rule number one is this. If you suffer from an acute medical condition, don't avoid and don't fight the medical professionals that are treating you. You know, in that realm, I think Nate Morrison, when he was on, it sounded like we're on completely the same page. American emergency rooms are the best in the world at putting people back together.
Quickly, yes. In an hour. The golden hour, they call it. Yeah.
Where you and I will butt heads with the medical community is in two key areas, prevention and rehabilitation. So let's discuss both. As good as they are at treating acute emergencies, they are among some of the worst in the world when it comes to prevention. Whether it's obesity, immunity, heart disease, or cancer, most medical professionals will give lip service at best to diet, exercise, and nutritional supplements. From there, it's usually a fast track to a prescription drug for whatever ails you. And note too, Big Pharma's very aggressive, direct to consumer advertising. You aren't depressed because you have a deficiency of Lexapro. You know, a drug like Lexapro doesn't sell itself. Nobody wakes up and says, I want to go buy some Lexapro today. It needs to be sold with this blissful music, smiling faces, and beautiful sunrises you see on the prescription drug commercials. On the flip side, you've probably never once seen an ad for an opioid-based painkiller. That's because they sell themselves. They have an army of people pushing them. They're called doctors. It's gotten way out of hand. And now that the entire country is in crisis, now they're concerned about the opioid epidemic, you know, now that everyone is hooked. Finally, we get to rehab. When you're recovering from XYZ condition, whatever it is, a lot can go into that. First and foremost is the physical condition of the patient. You know, virtually every good doctor will tell you the better shape you're in when you're going into an operation or illness, the faster and smoother your recovery will be. But other things matter too. What you eat matters. How much sleep you get matters. The nutritional supplements and other recovery agents that you avail yourself to matters. So you tell me, who's going to recover from shoulder surgery faster? The guy who eats like crap, doesn't sleep well, and takes Centrum Silver? Or the guy who eats a high-protein diet, sleeps 10 hours a night, uses Synthogen Thrive, Kratom, Cesis, and or BPC-157? The answer is obvious, okay? So here's the bottom line. Don't.
Rob, you dropped out right at, Rob, you dropped out right at, here's the bottom line. So start there. Don't.
So the bottom line is, don't fight medical professionals.
Right.
But don't follow them blindly either.
Right. Right.
Big difference. Big difference.
So when I had to have my tricep surgery, I had to get cleared for surgery. And one of the things they do is they do an EKG, and they said, oh, you've got a mild AFib. I says, yeah, I know. So they said, well, you have to get cleared by a cardiologist. So I had to go to a cardiologist, and they did an echocardiogram on me. And the girl, the girl who came out and talked to me, she was the nurse. She said, your heart looks fine, but you really should be on blood thinners. I said, why? She says, well, you have a mild AFib, and there is a chance for clotting. I said to her, I don't want to take blood thinners. And then she progressed to tell me why I should, and if I was her brother, she would insist on it, blah, blah, blah. So I said to her, let me ask you a question. I said, I hear that birth control pills cause increase in thrombotic index in women who take them. Is it prescribed for them too? A blood thinner is prescribed for them too? Because we know that those pills cause blood clots. And she just looked at me dumbfounded. And so she saw she wasn't getting anywhere with me. I said, look, I take fish oil. I take ginger. I take vitamin E. My blood is plenty thin. I'm not worried about it. She goes, well, will you at least think about it? I says, yeah, I'll think about it. You don't have to convince them, but you also don't have to listen to them. They don't know everything. The AMA has tried to position physicians as knowing everything. But don't forget, over 800,000 people die a year just from taking their prescribed medications, the way their doctor prescribed them to take. They die from those medications. So you're allowed to push back. You're allowed to say no. If you don't agree with your doctor, get a second opinion, third opinion, fourth opinion. And if all those opinions still don't make sense to you, if you really have done the research and you think to yourself, this is nonsense, then you do what you think is right, because you're better off dying by your bad decision than by their bad decision.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that's it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And Brandon Murphy says it's hard to find quality Phenibut lately. Do you know anything about that? Do you know anything about where to find it?
I know lots about it. you know, your best bet in the United States is to go to liftmode.com or powdercity.com. Now, if you go to LiftMode, you won't see it unless you're logged into their site. For Blueprint Bulletin subscribers, I came up with a pretty slick way to get a kilo for $90 as opposed to $160, you know, at LiftMode or wherever. But in any case, yeah, that's where I would go. PowderCity.com, they have an affiliate that sells it in 50-gram amounts, and LiftMode has up to kilos. You need to log into their site, though, to see it.
Chris Hill, my friend Chris Hill, says, when it comes to the art of medicine, you must advocate for yourself. That's exactly it. That's it. And on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we have the Blueprint Tip of the Day. Stick around. We shall return.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com, Trojan Horse.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Let's just listen to music. I love Kurt Cobain.
You've been gone a long time now.
I know, man. I still listen to his music when I train. So what is the blueprint tip of the day, Rob?
Tip of the day is this. Sooner or later, you need to call your own shots.
You just dropped out.
It's just a given.
You dropped out a little bit. Sooner or later, you need to call your own shots. Go ahead.
And at some point in your training career, you're going to get injured. It's just a given that in a lifetime of training, something's going to happen. So knowing that, though, it gives us the opportunity to do something about it, something beyond what the medical community offers. So, you know, my recent shoulder surgery really hammered the point home. The surgery that I incurred was an attempt to rectify a small tear in my labrum as well as shaving down a bone, which is wonderful because if, in fact, those were my issues and if it heals correctly, I should be pain-free again someday. But what happened next after the surgery gets to the guts of what I want to talk about today. I have had a goal for months now of box squatting 500 pounds. No knee wraps, just a belt, you know, and a newfound lease on life now that bridging has fixed my back. It was all going pretty much according to plan, right? The first loading pattern to 425 in 6 workouts. I took a week off and then began loading pattern 2, which should have given me another 25 pounds, albeit in 14 workouts instead of 6. This time, though, the plan got thrown out the window because midway through, I came down with the shingles. Still, 1 week later, I picked up right where I left off, and I just kept plugging away. And then, barely a week after that, I incurred a lower back injury. Now, it wasn't the worst thing that could have happened, but it was enough to keep me out of action for 2 weeks. However, I battled back and again picked up right where I left off. And I saw it through and maxed out at 450 just days before my surgery. Now a big unknown is on the horizon, right? Because I had no experience with being put under, being operated on, etc. Doing much, if anything, for about a month afterward. And this was coming from guys in the gym who had had the surgery and whose opinion I very much respect. So on January 8th, it all goes down. I have the procedure. Immediately post-op, I took Synthogen and, of course, every day since. I mentioned before how I didn't need one pain pill, literally not one. I knew something special was going on because that was also true. Didn't need any pain pills on days that I didn't take Kratom, right? Kratom has a pain-killing effect, so, you know, you would expect it on those days. Just 2 days after that surgery, I was out of my sling and my range of was ridiculously good. I mean, he couldn't believe it. I had enough a day later to grab the bar, right, as if it's on my shoulders and I'm squatting. So I gave it 2 more days, and yesterday, just 6 days after having a pretty major surgery, I began loading pattern 3 again, picking up right where I left off, and not missing a beat. The point here is that you can and should solicit everyone's opinion, your friends, fellow lifters, doctors, physician's assistants, and physical therapists. But there's only one person that's been living in this body for 48 years and knows it inside and out. It's not the doctor. It's not the rehab people. It isn't even my wife. It's the guy in that mirror that's hanging up behind me that you see. It's the guy in the mirror. And I will live with the consequences, if there are any, of coming back so early. That's just part of the bargain. But I will also reap the benefits of getting to 475 and then finally my ultimate goal of 500 in the time period that I had planned, or roughly thereabouts. I did it with the shingles. I did it with a lower back injury. And I'm going to do it again with shoulder surgery. Now, I suppose the safest course of action would have been not to touch a weight for a month. Just work on these little stretching exercises they're giving me and accept the two steps back situation. But after you've overcome so many obstacles, you don't give up so easy. To me, it was personal. I'm not trying to make a statement. I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm trying to overcome obstacles as fast as they get thrown at me. Now, sure, I've got a lifetime to get there. But on the other hand, and this is big, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. There was an 11-year-old boy in my town that was killed crossing the street after the bus dropped him off. He's not going to get tomorrow. You know, the doctor is not under the bar with me. Nobody is. It's me and all me, whatever happens. And I am perfectly fine with that. In fact, I live for it. So if it all ends tomorrow, I'd be a happy man. Why? Because I called my own shots. You, this has everything to do with you because it's going to happen to you. You just make sure if something similar comes your way, and it will, you have the courage to call your own shots too and live with the consequences and the benefits.
Yeah. I only wish I had Sinatra's I Did It My Way to play in the background as we close this segment. If I had a real production studio here with real people working, I'd tell them, pull the Sinatra spot, play that music.
You know, I mean, it really is true. I was thinking of not touching a weight for a month and you know, going that whole route. And I, like I said before, I'm sure it's the safest one. But after you've fought through so many things, you don't give up so easy. Yeah. It's very competitive and it's personal. And I'm hoping for you, it will be personal for you too. And that you, like I said, have the courage to call those own shots.
Yeah. Yep. Great message, yeah. Rob. Great message. Great show today. Thank you for everything. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to everybody who posted on Facebook questions. I think we answered all of them. And tomorrow we have Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff. And then we have Joel Green coming on. He's going to give us 10 ways to boost your metabolism without using caffeine.
Wow, that's awesome.
This is going to be supplements and foods. And you know Joel Green of VEEP.com. This guy understands food combining and nutrition like nobody else does. The guy's really a genius. I keep getting emails from, in fact, Brandon Murphy was like, somebody he knows bought something to boost metabolism. And I reached out to Joel and I says, let's do a show on how to boost metabolism legitimately. Raising your heartbeat, that's not boosting metabolism. Causing your body to burn more calories doing the same amount of work that you're doing through things like mitochondrial uncoupling. And also, Joel's going to take an interesting angle on it. If you only get certain nutrients from your food, foods that actually deliver some nutrients more efficiently than others. So it's not just about expenditure. It's about intake, too. And it's going to be an interesting show. So that's going to be at 12:30 tomorrow after Science for Humans. So hopefully people will tune in for that as well. I think we're going to try to do that Facebook Live as well. Thanks
that
a lot,
Joe. Like
yeah, it's going to be good. Thanks a lot for everything, Rob. And you dropped out again, believe it or not. We got to get you an Ethernet connection, Rob. Are you hardwired connected or are you using wireless right now?
I'm hardwired, but I don't know why it's, you know, in the past it was fine. Maybe I forgot to shut my Wi-Fi off. That's why.
I bet you're on Wi-Fi right now, not hardwire. I bet because you're dropping out like packets are dropping, and that's usually a sign of wireless. But we'll get it fixed. We'll get it fixed before next week's show. How's that sound?
Cool. Great. All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. And I'll talk to you later. And I will see everybody else tomorrow. Thanks for watching, listening, questions, everything. Bye.